In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased, and said unto him, "Hearest thou what these say?" And Jesus saith unto them, "Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou perfected praise?" We heard these words in the Matins Gospel last night, and Christ is referencing here a prophecy from Psalm 8. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou perfected praise because of thine enemies to destroy the enemy and avenger. Despite the many miracles that Christ had done, including raising up a man who had been dead 4 days, Lazarus, most of the Jewish leaders refused to acknowledge that Jesus was the Christ. And yet here we have children, even infants still suckling their mothers, proclaiming him to be just that and shaming their elders. St. John Chrysostom points out that if this prophecy had merely spoke of children or of even of infants, people might have thought that it was a figurative reference to maybe people who were young in the faith. But when he says babes and sucklings, it leaves no doubt that he's talking about very young children. Christ also tells us in the Gospels that we are to become like a child. Earlier, when the apostles were disputing among themselves about which of them was the greatest, we read that Christ called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." In what way are we to become like children? We should be like children in their innocence of evil, their short memories of wrongs, and their lack of pride or pretension. We often underestimate the spiritual capacity of children, and yet we read in the Gospels that St. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. And so while small children, obviously on an intellectual level, are not able to apprehend things, on a spiritual level they have a great capacity. I wish that most of the adults in this parish paid as much attention to the services as Genevieve McLaughlin, who just turned 3 this last week, because you often hear her singing the words, and like today, I don't know if she started it, but on other times when we've sung the festal antiphons, she'll start singing the normal antiphons because she knows that's what's normally done. And then she notices we're singing something different and she stops. But she's paying attention. And there's been times when she knew I was the one that was supposed to do something next, and she'll say, "Father John, you know, you're next." She's paying attention. There's probably many people who didn't notice that we were singing something different than what we normally do for the antiphons today, but she noticed. My own children, when my daughter Elizabeth was very young, she didn't learn to speak English until she was 3. Her mother tongue, my wife's tongue, is Cantonese, and so that's what she spoke at home. And yet, at that time, I was a deacon serving at St. Vladimir's here in Houston, and most of their services are in Slavonic. And I remember hearing her while she was playing with her toys singing Blagoslovi Dusha Moja Gospoda, the beginning of the first antiphon in Slavonic, even though she didn't even speak English at that point. But she was paying attention to the words, and she was saying the words correctly. And then later on, when Catherine was a little, about the same age, I remember her and Catherine both, they'd picked up Christos Anesti, the fast version that sung during the canon on Pascha, and they were singing it in Greek. Not getting all the words right, but most of them. So they were paying attention. The point is that we shouldn't wait until our children get older before we think that they're ready to come to all the services of the church. Children should be at all the services of the church, even from their earliest ages, because they're able to absorb things that we can't appreciate, but are nevertheless real. In Proverbs, we read the words, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And of course, Christ in the Gospel says, "Let the little children come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Children are ready for the services. It takes some discipline. It can be difficult to have small children in services, but children do get used to it. And we as a parish need to make sure that we are tolerant of parents that have small children and maybe act up a little bit, because it's difficult, particularly if you have several children, to have them behave perfectly. But we want children in the services. We want them to be here to absorb all these things and to learn these services, because that's one of the ways that they're trained up in the way that they should go. We're told in the Psalms that children are a blessing from the Lord. Though children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children in the hand of those who were outcast. And by outcast, he's talking there about the people who were once in exile. It's a prophecy about those that are coming back and the blessings that they would receive. And in the Hebrew text after that, it says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. In other words, blessed is the man whose quiver, the thing that holds all those arrows, has a lot of those arrows. Many children. We live in a culture that is unfortunately very anti-child. And you might question that, because whenever politicians want to do something, whenever they want to raise your taxes, what do they say? Well, it's for the children. We need to spend more money on education and what have you. But we really do live in an anti-child culture. For example, in the news, if you watch certain channels, maybe, most of these channels have been trying very attentively to ignore the trial of an abortionist who gruesomely killed child after child that managed to survive an abortion, and he and his nurses killed those babies after they were born in very gruesome ways. And this is not something that's unique. Those who have been involved in the pro-life movement and have watched abortion clinics up close and seen the kinds of practices that they engage in and seen women taken out in ambulances after botched abortions are well aware of the fact that these abortionists are not ethical doctors who are providing good, quote-unquote, health care, but are butchers. And our culture has made it legal. We've had decades that have passed since the Supreme Court, by judicial fiat, made abortion the law of the land, but what have we done to stop it? Well, there have been certainly those that have tried to stop it, but as a nation, if we wanted to stop it, we could have, and we've chosen not to. Also, if you don't believe that we live in an anti-child culture, you should ask a parent that has more than three children, you know, what kind of responses they get from people. They're very often greeted with stares these days. People will ask them questions like, don't you know how those children happen? Or, you know, have you not heard about birth control? When you're going to the doctor, when your wife is expecting, you'll have the nurses pressuring you to start planning when you're going to have your tubes tied so that you don't have any more children, even on your first pregnancy. And we do talk a lot about children. We talk about how much we value children. But another way we show that we really don't like children the way that they are is the fact that in our schools we dope them up. When they start behaving like little boys or even little girls, we dope them up because we really don't want to hear from them. We don't want them to be inconvenient. And so we really do live in an anti-child culture, but we as Orthodox Christians need to make sure that we don't participate in that. We need to be welcoming of those who have children. Those of us who are married, we should look at having children as a blessing. In the year 2000, the Russian Church issued what's called the Social Concept Document, where it talked about many contemporary ethical issues. And one of the things it talked about was the question of birth control. Orthodox Christians do not believe in any kind of birth control that's abortifacient, and that would include the pill. These things cause spontaneous abortions. However, it does say that if for good reasons, you need to space your children or limit the number of children that you have, that non-abortifacient methods can be acceptable. And this is something that you should, you know, talk about with your spiritual father, it says. But the thing is we should certainly not refuse to have children for purely selfish reasons, just because we don't want to be bothered or because they cost money. It's very difficult in our time, as I said, to have many children. We've made it so. We have seatbelt laws that make it so that you have to have a van if you want to have a family the size that families used to be. When I was a kid, we just had one kid sitting on the lap of another kid, sometimes three kids deep in the back seat, and we weren't worried about that stuff. We were rolling around in the back of a station wagon or a pickup, and nobody seemed to care. But now everyone gets shocked if they see that and want to call 911. Because it's such a horrible thing. But seatbelt laws make it more difficult to have more children because it makes it more expensive. But the point that I'm making is that don't avoid having children because of purely selfish reasons. And certainly when we see families that have many children, we should smile and we should say, isn't that great? because I heard someone once say, I can't remember who, but the future belongs to those that show up. And the Muslims are having lots of children, and they're increasing in numbers. Unfortunately, Christians are having fewer and fewer children, and our numbers are decreasing. It's a great thing to see a family that has many children. And we want to encourage them, and we want to help them in any way that we can. During the services, when you see a mother struggling with several children, maybe offer to help her out. But certainly don't give a stare that makes her feel uncomfortable. Be patient with the noise, because that noise is the sound of life. And a parish that doesn't have that noise is a parish that's not going to be around for very long. Christ also said, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Their guardian angels intercede for them before God, and great will be the punishment of those that cause them to stumble." One of the things that we have going on in our day is increasingly people are trying to corrupt children at earlier and earlier ages. In Massachusetts, for example, where they've made gay marriage legal, they've now used that as an excuse to teach homosexuality as normal, and they're teaching it to children who are as young as kindergartners, and they're not giving parents the option of opting out for that, and so they're shoving this stuff down the throats of our children. But Christ said, "Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." It's a horrible thing to mislead a child, to lead a child away from the faith, but yet that is what increasingly our culture is doing. We as parents need to strive to protect the innocence of our children. And if it comes to the point where you can't have your child in the public schools in this state without that kind of stuff being shoved down their throat. Unfortunately, for the most part, that's not true here. But if it ever does come to that point, you need to do whatever you can to get your children out of those schools. And even now, there are many negative influences that they're subject to. And so if it's possible, you might want to think about things like homeschooling or putting them in a private Christian school where at least basic principles of morality will be affirmed rather than ridiculed. We also need to make sure that we're the ones that are training up our child in the way that they should go and not the world by bringing them to the services, as I said, bringing them to Sunday school and teaching them diligently at home about the faith. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we hear one of the most important passages of the Old Testament. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hands, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." That describes the kind of all-encompassing presence of our faith that should exist in our home. It talks about teaching your children when you rise up, when you sit down, when you go by the way, in every occasion, always be looking for opportunities to teach your children about the faith. Because they're going to be taught by someone. They're going to learn how to live and how to be human beings from someone, and it needs to be from you and not from their friends down the street that are unbelievers or from their teachers in schools that may be unbelievers. You need to be the one that instruct them. It's your primary responsibility. The church has a responsibility. The godparents certainly have a responsibility. The Sunday schools have a responsibility. But you as the parents are first and foremost the ones that need to take charge of that and make sure that your children are trained up in the way that they should go. "Let the little children come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Amen.